Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. This morning marks a special day here at Zion. And while I know we had planned for this special day to be with a great baby shower, that wasn't exactly what I had in mind when I was thinking about it being a special day. And I mentioned it, that it's the first day of Advent. We started a new church year, and as the church year goes, it's kind of this big circle, but it's not really just a circle. It kind of goes onward. It's like a spiral. If you look like a spring, it goes on and on and on as we go in and await Jesus' return. And that's why this Advent is so exciting, because it's really the season of anticipation. And so maybe that's why it was fitting to have a baby shower, or even have that on our mind, to have an anticipation of a child coming. Because if you think about it, the coming of a child really is a season of anticipation in one's life. You're anticipating with great excitement and joy of what is to come, but not yet fully having that great gift. But in some sense, though, life just goes on all the same. You have to continue moving on, because if you become overconsumed with that excitement or that anticipation for that child that is to come, then you kind of let other things fall by the wayside. If I didn't actually take care of Leah and all of her needs outside of the pregnancy, or take care of the chores around the house and just start packing frantically and get ready for the hospital, then things around the house actually fall apart, because we don't actually continue living as if life is also moving on. And so I stand here today anticipating our first child while also bringing you God's word. Both are important and both healthy things, and both are necessary to be done, but you cannot focus solely on one thing at once, and we all know what that's like. It's called multitasking. But the season of Advent is really very much like this as well. It's this balancing act between these two things. And so forever, as we go through the season of Advent, we have the next season of the church year before our eyes. We have to think about Christmas, but we also can't oversaturate it with Christmas, or else we don't actually get to celebrate Christmas. But what is it then that we can get overconsumed with throughout Advent? If I talked about, you know, letting all the things go by the wayside in the house and not taking care of my house and all the other things at home because we're so anticipating baby, what is it in Advent that we can over-anticipate that might almost stun us where we're at in this moment? Because, you know, this unknown can't really be the coming of Jesus. We know what that held. We know that Jesus was born. That's not the thing that we can over-anticipate, because we know what it offered. We know what Jesus did in his life. That's all been revealed to us. But it's really what our gospel reading talked about today. That's the thing that we can over-anticipate. And it's really that return of Christ, that if we focus too much on that sometimes, it can make life almost stagnate, or we become overly concerned with the future. And so if we view Advent as a season only leading to Christmas, and that it just recalls the birth of Jesus, then we lose sight of that second coming and lose sight of the greater hope that we have to come. But if we also just focus in on that part of Advent, then we focus too much in on things that are unknown. We focus too much on the things that we cannot predict, and we lose sight of what Jesus has already done and the promises that he has already offered, and that we actually have a great many of them already right now. And so this really is a balancing act throughout the season of Advent. And as our text said, so you too can also stay awake, for your Lord is coming. And doing this balancing act is staying awake. That first and most clear focus of Advent is, as we said, is that preparation of recalling Christmas and what our Lord came to accomplish. We, like all who came before us, recall all of what Scripture has to say about Jesus and that birth, and then his eventual whole earthly ministry and what it led to. But now, unlike the people of the Old Testament who waited in anticipation for Jesus to come the first time, we actually have the whole entire New Testament, which reveals everything that we need to know about what Jesus has offered us. And this part of Advent and that part of knowing is actually what grounds us in faith throughout this Advent season. We know that Jesus came and offered us forgiveness through the death that he would eventually die. And to keep with that baby analogy, a couple expecting knows a baby is coming, and this fact remains true despite all the many things going on in life. You can't just act as if it's not going to happen. But there's also that portion of this season of Advent that is unknown, which is us awaiting our Lord's return. And as Jesus himself said in our gospel reading, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. And this is the unknown promise, and maybe better said, not unknown, because we know what it's going to offer, but we don't actually have it fully yet. And so it's really a promise not fully received right now. And it's just like people that know they're expecting a baby. They know they're going to have one, but they don't necessarily know what that's like yet. So just like that anticipation of a newborn, this is what the season of Advent is like. We don't actually fully know what we're going to get in that great joy. But we do know that it will offer us peace, that the Lord will bring himself on that last day, as Isaiah said, and as I told the kids this morning, they shall beat their swords into plowshares. There will be an everlasting peace that we will receive because Jesus has come to offer it, one that we don't quite have yet, but it is to come. And so this anticipation continues to look forward instead of backwards. The part of Advent that we spoke of previously is one that we look back to the cross, we look back to his birth, and we might even look back to our baptism, knowing that that is where we have been grounded in our faith. And yet, this part, this one that looks forward, is now a soul awakened for the promises yet to come, awake for the hope of final deliverance on that last day. Yet both anticipating the promises already received in Christ's birth and the promises received in full on that last day, if we separate them, they become two parts of a whole. They have to go together. It's like the excitement of a coming child and the fact that you know you're having one. You can't not anticipate and prepare for a child. They have to go hand in hand, or else you're not actually going to be ready. And another example would be like a farmer who plants seed in the fall. I hope you're not planting seed right now. But in the spring, if you planted seed in the spring, you better anticipate the harvest and actually be prepared, make all the machines ready, and actually be keeping track of all the other things that go into preparation for the harvest. If you act as though there is no harvest, well, then you're not ready to reap it. Now, Jesus, in our gospel reading, spoke of those who will act almost kind of like this. They'll act like those people at the time of Noah, those who will become overly consumed with just the facts of the present reality and not actually look to the future. Noah had warned them about a coming flood, but instead they said, well, whatever, eat, drink, be merry. We're going to live like we want anyways. And so God reveals these things to us. And in our times, all things are revealed to us through God's written word. At that time, they had Noah, who was now God's advocate for them to tell them about these things. But now we have those who preach it instead. And those awake listen to what the word says. They reflect both on the present promises of Jesus and all that he offers us and the ones that are yet to come. Yet the danger is that we lose sight of the goal. Because that's really what this is. We can actually make the Christian life into just like mere facts, or living just a moral life, or being kind of a good person, but not actually keeping that goal in mind of where our life is actually going to lead. It's much more than that. Knowing you're forgiven and anticipating the coming hope of the resurrection and the judgment that comes with it is actually keeping that goal in mind. And that's what Advent is making us try and anticipate. Keeping the goal of the resurrection ever before our eyes, not just living a moral and good life, but knowing that that moral and good life that is lived in Christ actually leads us somewhere and has a goal. But if we don't do that, we'd be no different than those people at the time of Noah, not awake, not expecting God's judgment, but those just living their life, kind of moseying about and doing whatever. And there's really no hope outside of what life there is to come. It would just be things on earth. Oh, it's okay. Nothing's there for us in the future. Now, on the other hand, an overemphasis on the Lord's return and that day of judgment can make us lose sight, like I said, of all those promises that he already has accomplished for us. And many think they do just what Jesus said in our text. As he said, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Well, they seek signs and wonders. They look to the sky and the stars, and they try to predict the exact date that Jesus is coming back. And they oftentimes we even look at the wickedness in the world and they think, if we can just gauge how wicked the world is, we'll know the exact date Jesus is going to come back, as if anything's new under the sun and as if we haven't already had these wicked things happen before in times before us. And so they forever kind of move the goalpost of when Jesus will come back, because they think that staying awake is looking for the proper signs or constellations or how wicked the world is around us, but they don't actually really stay awake. And so this is the couple who does nothing but worry about the coming of a child, and they get overconsumed with the fact of not knowing when that child's going to come, and they just do nothing but not focus on the things elsewhere in life. And now this is also the farmer, though, who himself gets overly concerned with the rain and not trusting that the Lord will actually provide and that the harvest will be okay and it's on his time. Now this, though, some think is true preparation and true staying awake for Jesus. All the while they neglect to preach and teach the forgiveness flowing from the death of the at Jesus' cross and what that means for his return. You know, focus too much on this part of Advent, and life becomes just full of worry, doubt, worry for those who have not heard the word of God, and if taken to an extreme, questioning whether or not you too will be awake on that last day because you've lost sight of the promises Jesus has already declared for you. And instead of anticipating the great joy that is to come, the mind then just races with doubts, concerns, anxieties of the unknowns of Jesus' return. Yet the thing about the return of Christ is that there's actually much more that is known than there is unknown, even though people don't think that. You see, the Lord's return, if we remember the coming of Christ that first Christmas season, then informs us what will be taking place on that day that he returns, especially what will be taking place for you. Now, people long awaited this coming Messiah, and they awaited in faith, knowing that he was going to bring forgiveness of sins and deliverance from death and the devil. The whole Old Testament was this people waiting in great hope and anticipation, wanting to have the coming of the Messiah to receive that forgiveness. And so they were awakened, and they looked to the Old Testament scripture, carefully and vigilantly watching for that coming Savior. Now, this is what being awake truly is. But instead of looking forward to the cross like they did, we now get to look backward, and we get to see it in its fullness and what has been revealed to us in Scripture. The Old Testament people look forward, and now we look backward, and in some sense, we also get to look forward at the same time. But what we know about what we look backward on informs what we know about when Jesus returns. Looking back upon the cross is what makes our Lord's return nothing to be feared, and nothing to be anxious about. Just like the coming of a child, there's nothing to be worried about so long as you don't live as if you're not expecting a child. Just like the farmer who plants crop should live as though he is going to have to actually harvest the crop. In our Lord's return, you will not be forgotten. In our Lord's return, you will be judged, but you will be judged and you will be prepared for this judgment, because each and every year and every time you gather in the sanctuary, you are hearing the word of God and believing what has been said to you, that Jesus died for you, that Jesus forgave you, that Jesus loves you. This is what the people of the Old Testament anticipated to see with their own eyes, and what we also anticipate to see with our eyes when Jesus returns. Except now we actually have the full story from the New Testament, that Jesus said these things for us. And so we hold these two feelings in tension throughout all of Advent, this anticipation. We won't be left in the field, you won't be unprepared for the thief, and you will be that faithful steward awaiting the return of the master to the house. Our Lord's return is certain, just as certain as the day of a woman who's going to give birth when she's pregnant. It's still a little bit unknown, but we do know that it's going to come. You are awake, not because you know the time or the hour, but because your anticipation of that day makes you look back upon the cross and know all the gifts that Jesus has offered you in forgiveness. You know what his verdict will be for you when he judges you. It'll be not guilty, covered by Christ, forgiven, died for, paid for. The list can go on. And I am sure in the coming months, though, that Leah and I will be awake quite a bit. But that won't take away the joy that we received at the coming of our child. And so you will be awake, dear Christians, who fight against the sin of the world. And it might be a wearying battle against all of the temptations that Satan will throw your way, but you cannot lose sight of the joy that you already have in the forgiveness of sins that Christ offered you and the hope of the life to come and the resurrection. And so, this Advent season, we get to pray those words, "Come, Lord Jesus." In his precious name, amen.